what they want to see in...
Yeah, they did that before.
I know. And that's pretty much everything that we covered. Almost the exact same thing. Like the only thing that we didn't cover is 4K upscaling.
Yeah, if you look at the summary, but the way they went over things was a little different, but... I just put up a new video, and I have a stream. It's two liters. We have a 2 liter there, one's for you, one's for me. That's in.
Oh.
If the one's in the fridge is cold, you can use that one.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's cold or not. I put it in earlier, but.
You want to throw this one in the fridge?
Yeah. It's the other one.
It's about the same.
Yeah, it doesn't really fit very well.
No. The one crappy thing about mini fridges.
So someone sent me a letter.
Yeah. Are we live, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone sent me a letter.
Yeah.
That's just a bunch of questions for Prime Answers.
Oh, all right then.
I was like, sure.
Why not?
I mean, I'm not gonna put that in the, you know, the Nate stuff because like this isn't stuff.
Yeah.
It's not even a letter about like how awesome I am. Gosh dang it, Al! Yeah. Why isn't it? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Why aren't you praising me?
Yeah, right.
Why are you asking me questions?
How dare you? Gosh. How dare you?
All right. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes, we're eating on this podcast. Special. I promise not to eat in the mic.
Well.
Yep. Mm. Why don't you say that? Hey, on the bright side, for all the people that think I talk too much, guess what? Eric will have to talk if I'm stuffing my face.
Yeah, you know. God.
All right.
Did you start the...
Yeah, we're all good. Everything's going.
Okay.
Yeah. Sync it all up. Alrighty then. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 94 of the Nintendo Prime Podcast. We're going to have a little bit of a short podcast this week. I just have a lot of stuff going on, including the fact that I'm going to be on the Spawncast on Saturday. So, you know, you're going to hear this after I was already on it, but that's another reason why it's cut short this week. That's okay. We'll come back with an awesome podcast the following week. That doesn't mean we don't have a really cool topic to talk about. So for starters, I'm joined as always by...
Eric Moore.
And I am your host, Nathaniel Rumpel. Jan, it's a little bit different. I'm kind of sort of trying to shovel some dinner into me here. No, I'm not advertising Rocky Rococo, but I guess I am.
Well, I mean, we generally advertise...
Coke,
cherry Coke,
cherry
zero.
Coke. So we only have one topic this week, and I do apologize if we look a little blown out in the video. I've been having some issues with my camera lately, mostly because I don't know how to use it. I'm just being honest. It's okay. I'll fix it for the next podcast. We haven't had issues with it before. I think I screwed up something with the aperture. It's cool. I'll worry about it another day. So let's just get right into it. Eric, what is our topic? You are the one that picked it up. And I think it's a really interesting topic because it's not necessarily Switch, but it's in the realm of just video game home consoles.
Right.
So what are we talking about?
PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo is now getting a rival, brand new rival. It's called the Madbox. It's from...
Mad Dog Studios.
Nope. Slightly Mad Studios.
Slightly Mad Studios. That's right. I don't like thinking Mad Dog.
I don't know. Because Mad Dog's fairly large studio, isn't it?
I don't even know who Mad Dog is.
Huh. Well, I think
it's a nickname of one of my friends from high school.
I'm pretty sure it's a studio. I'm pretty sure I've heard of it.
Anyways.
If not, well, it should be.
Yeah, it's... Well, they're releasing basically a PC. They're making a TV PC. It's supposed to, apparently, if you love true 4K, you want all the power and all the possibilities in the world, this is going to be the thing. It looks really, really weird. Maybe I'll put a picture on screen for you guys. The thing is, it's not really in the same market, I think, as a PlayStation, Xbox, or Switch, just because I think it's going to be expensive. I think it's literally a living room PC, which is okay.
Right.
There are living room PCs that exist. This is just another one of those. And it's going to advertise itself as a home console because they're probably going to make it. They're probably going to come with an Xbox controller or something,
mm-hmm.
something convenient to use it as a standard console controller. And heck, it probably will come with a multimedia remote. Like that's what living room PCs come with. But I think it's interesting to expand this conversation because Amazon has announced they're releasing a game streaming service of their own. We know Microsoft is launching one at some point this year.
Mm-hmm.
We know Google's Project Stream. That might be coming out this year. We're not sure if it's actually coming this year, but they tested it with Assassin's Creed Odyssey end of last year. I was in that test group, ran very, very well in the Google Chrome browser. And So game streaming is kind of coming along, is basically what I'm pointing out at. Mad Dog Studios is sort of trying to get into the console game, but like the high-end console game, like super high-end. So
are you talking about the Slightly Mad Studios?
Slightly Mad, whatever. the dog something. I don't know.
Madbox.
Madbox, whatever.
It's like the Xbox, but it's only Mad. I mean,
yeah, they got some
interesting tweets on it, though, for sure.
Well, of course they do. Because it's powerful.
Yeah, it's going to be, apparently, according to them, the most powerful console ever built.
Because it's not a console. It's a PC. But then again, Xbox and PlayStation 4 are basically PCs.
Yeah.
I mean, right. You even have to install games now. Defeating the convenience of consoles, if you ask me. You know, we've had frustrations with that over the past 24 hours. That being said, I guess the question is, for starters, is just for traditional consoles, are we ready for another competitor? Have the three, is there something the three major platform holders right now are missing that another competitor can come in? Because we've seen people drop off before. Sega used to be in the game, and they dropped off when the Xbox came around. Mm-hmm. And this is actually the longest we've had three major platform holders coexist.
Right.
Usually there's three, but then one falls off and there's only two.
Right.
So it was Sega, Nintendo, Sony.
Right.
Sega fell off, but then Xbox came along.
Right.
And now Xbox is kind of stuck to it. So are we ready for another one?
I think competition generally tends to be good because it generally drives innovation. Hopefully. It's from what it sounds like, this one, the Madbox is going to have full 4K support, and it's saying VR at 60 FPS. They're going to try to do, they also have, they're going to go, later corrected this to, oh, they're going to have a full free engine to develop your games on it. So, you know, anybody can really generally develop games for it, which is going to be interesting and could work out to their advantage.
Maybe.
It also could be. It could also be a lot of bloatware, too.
Well, there's already free engines out there. So is it better than the other free engines?
Right.
You know, what is it doing? Is it like Unreal Engine 4, where that's not free?
Mm-hmm.
Although, actually, I think Unreal Engine is free now. I can't remember.
I think it is, but if you monetize it, it's a certain percentage of the money.
I honestly don't remember. I really should have looked that up before this, but I didn't know we were going to talk about engines.
So right, right.
Unity, I know, is another one out there that I think is free too.
I think they're both similar in the fact that it's free to use. I could be wrong. It's free to use, but if you monetize your game, it's a certain
percentage
goes to the thing.
I mean, I think it's an interesting concept. I think it's cool to have something like when we think of the high end console market, we think Xbox One X, PlayStation 4 Pro,
right?
You know, obviously living room PCs are there. They've always been there for at least the last handful of years. But it's always been that niche market. Like if you're gonna have a desktop PC that's going balls to the wall, you're usually not hooking it up to your TV, because the thing is TVs are not as good as monitors. They're just not. Their refresh rates are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, they don't even have the hertz. So, like, they go up to 60 hertz, but you want, you have a $3,000 computer. You don't want 60 FPS.
Right.
You want 120, 140. Like, it's talking about VR at 60. I'm like, there's VR at, like, 120 on PCs.
Actually, that might be what it is. I'm reading a little bit more here. And actually, the CTO actually corrected it. They're going to go 90 per eye and 180 FPS internally.
Okay.
Is what that makes a little bit more sense now that you say that.
Yeah, PCs all, like, if they're going high end, you're going past 60.
Yep, so they're going 90 per eye and 180 internally.
So we'll see it as 90 FPS.
Yes.
But what they're doing is 180 and then splitting.
Yeah.
So that's super high end.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking like 2080 Ti. That's like a $1,200 card. It's just the GPU.
They got a deployable handle to carry it.
Yeah. But again, it's going to be, especially if they want to make money off it, it's going to be over $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a completely different market. There are people that will buy it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But you're talking rich people. I mean, you're talking the people that are rocking those movie theater set up OLED TVs.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That are just, probably already have crazy burn-in, but they can just replace it every month and not worry about the burn-in.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, it. Don't get me wrong. I'm cool. I'm glad it exists. Mm-hmm. Like, there, it's nice that there's something for the super high-end, and I'm a techie, geeky guy.
Right.
I'm very curious. What's going to make this stand out compared to a normal PC next to your TV is how it interfaces.
Mm-hmm.
The big thing right now with hooking up a PC to your TV is it's just Windows 10 on a TV.
Right.
Or, you know, Linux on a TV. Like, there is the, I think Steam has their, like, Steam OS or whatever.
Yep.
But it's not that good. It's really not. There's a reason the Steam boxes didn't take off.
I actually have never used it, so I can't really comment on it.
Just turn on Big Box on Steam on your PC, and that's basically what it is on your TV.
Okay.
It's not really that great of an experience. So that's where it would stand out in for it to be a home console. It needs two things: one, a very very slick interface that is all about gaming. So you might be able to enable web browsing and all this other stuff. But that's secondary. Everything about that interface is about gaming.
Right.
Number two, it needs to be able to take physical media of some type.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it doesn't, then literally it's just a PC.
Right.
So if it takes physical media of some type, obviously it's not going to... I'm assuming the physical media will be PC discs. Not. I doubt it's going to have its own proprietary media.
Type of media.
I mean, maybe it will. Maybe that nobody makes discs for. But
maybe it'll bring back the... HD DVDs, bringing back, you know, the order of the Blu-ray and the HD DVDs.
Oh my gosh! No, thank you. We don't need to go back to that. Anyways, if it accepts a physical disc, okay. It's gonna make you install games. Because if it's using a disc at all, they're not fast enough. We can't read discs fast enough to really have today's games. That's why Xbox and PlayStation have game installs. You might say, but what about Switch? Switch uses game cartridges that use flash memory that is much quicker to read than a disc. So it's different. And even then, it could get faster, but the cartridges are already expensive, so Nintendo's not going to go for even faster.
Right.
I think it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, for the market it's targeting, it has to know it's very limited in sales. Maybe a few thousand.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Right.
And I think that's okay. If it can find a way to own the PC next to TV market, and make it more like a because what really hurts the PC, the PC next to TV, like the multimedia gaming machine next to your TV, what really hurts it is the interfacing. A lot of people they don't want to feel like they have to use a mouse and keyboard to interface with their TV.
Right.
So if it can make it like an actual nice OS, which, by the way, after using the Xbox One OS for a little bit here, or the new one. I this is way different than last time I owned an Xbox One. Really, they change this thing every month?
Possible.
Like, okay, it could be done better. Come on.
Yeah.
So, it makes the Switch's OS look brilliant. I'm just sorry. Like, everyone, oh, no, the Switch is better. The eShop needs better than this. Like, I'm sorry. I have an impossible time navigating the Windows Store on this damn Xbox. The eShop's easier to use.
Well, how much of it, though, is you're used to playing the Switch and end up hitting B instead of A half
no,
the time?
No, not. The button mix-up, that's me. But,
okay.
But I'm just like, I don't know why it's so hard to find things.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, and the fact that for some ungodly reason, it took how long for Red Dead to install?
Well, let's not get into that. That's an issue with... I don't want to get into knocking Xbox right now.
Right. But, I mean, what...
That's not an interface thing.
Right.
The point is that it's going to be a high-end thing, and I'm glad the high-end market has something. I wish I had the money to get it just to check it out. Hey, Spawnwave. I know you like opening up game consoles, and I don't tell me you are not considering getting this system, because I know you are. When you're done tearing it down, you want to send it my way so I can just play around with it. I promise to send it back multiple pieces.
Multiple? Good God.
It might have a downgrade in GPU, but...
Yeah. Whoops!
Whoops!
Did I do that?
Whoops, did I take the... look, it's using a standard mini-form GPU, 2080 Ti, that I just swapped out for my 1070.
Yeah, you know.
Anyways... I think it's really interesting in general that system. Again, we don't have specs. We don't know anything. All we know is what he is claiming it's going to do with the VR and the gaming capabilities tells you this is not a cheap system. But the Xbox One X does 4K. It does 4K. But there's a lot of checkerboard rendering and a lot of stuff going on where a lot of things aren't really true 4K. There's tricks used. Mm-hmm. This is going to be no tricks. I know what 4K gaming looks like. I could do it on my PC, just I can't do it on ultra settings.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I think it's great. I'm glad it exists. I don't think it's going to have any, I don't think it's going to matter.
It's not going to affect Nintendo.
Well, Nintendo is going to be not affected at all. I don't even think PlayStation, because PlayStation, they're going to come out with a $400 system in mm-hmm. PlayStation 5. I guarantee right. you. They're not going back up to $500 and $599.
Right.
They know $400 is their sweet point.
Right.
So they're going to release PlayStation 5 at $400. It's going to be significantly more powerful than the PlayStation 4 Pro. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, a fourth of the power or whatever this Mad Dog thing is, but are third-party developers even going to, like, hop on board a system that only supports, you know, a few thousand users, too?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Switch has almost 38 million, and we can't even get them all, so.
There is that.
So, I think it'll still get support because it's a PC. It's
right.
just going to run PC games.
And also, I mean, when you don't have to, like, granted, I mean, I don't know how much, you know, when they have their own dev system, how much is that going to affect things, or are they going to allow multiple environments, dev environments to
if they're not allowing multiple dev environments, then the thing's dead.
Yeah,
I can't just limit things
engines.
To your
there
engine.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, if you're limited to just your engine, then nobody's gonna make anything. No
yeah.
one's gonna just make something
Learn.
Just your engine.
Right.
I mean, that would be like, oh, Nintendo has an engine they use for some of their games. Okay, well now they require everyone to use their engine,
yeah.
then you're done.
Yeah.
What they're saying is, I think what they're trying to do is attract indie developers. They're trying
right.
to be like, look,
right.
hey, we have a free engine. Why don't you come check it out? And I'm sure they'll make some indie partnerships at first, but
mm-hmm.
it's a high-end. Like, here's the thing. The company making it isn't like a multi-billion dollar company anyways. They're not. I've looked them up.
Okay.
They are not.
Yeah.
They're literally a game studio, an independent
yeah.
game studio.
Yeah.
They're not rich. So, like, it's not going to be this thing that's going to overtake the main players because they don't have the money to do that. And they know that. That's why they're like, look, we're just going to create something new. It's going to have some sort of profit margin. And we're going to sell, you know, a few hundred of them. And they're basically LeVar balling it.
There's that.
Here's this super expensive shoe. Of course,
yeah,
then again,
God.
Those shoes really aren't any better than a
right.
lot cheaper shoes.
Right.
So this will be a lot better factually. But, like, will it be a lot better factually than just building a computer on your own? No, except for the potential interfacing they could have with the TV. That's where you can stand out.
Right. My question is I'm wondering if they aren't trying to get out ahead of the curve and start trying to throw this stuff out here a little bit before, like, the Xbox 2 or whatever they're coming out with and the PS5 come out.
Well, no, this system's not coming out till like, 2020, 2021.
Right.
So,
right.
like, and that's when all these other systems are coming.
Right. But they're maybe it's going to be a little bit more on par with them than what we think it is.
I doubt it.
I don't know.
If it's on par with them,
then I don't know if it's going to, unless they do something way better than those other two, then I don't know how well it's going to take off either.
I mean, if it's on par with them, okay. You have people interested. It's got to be competitive price-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And you better have full support of third parties at launch.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Which, yeah.
Could.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get into, okay, what about the exclusives? I mean, sure, your games might be exclusive to it.
Right.
But, you know, that's the thing. They could try. I don't think so. The way he's describing it sounds
yeah,
like something
right.
that takes the
best.
I mean, here's the thing. People have already tried VR with 2080 Ti's, and they're struggling to get it above 60. So, like, if he's talking 90, I can't imagine the kind of hardware he's looking at to get that to happen.
Yeah, true.
So, unless it's, like, the simplest of simple games.
Yeah.
Oh, kick a ball. And it's a little pixel dot. Okay,
yeah.
sure.
Well, yeah, that's
you can run that at 144 hertz on each eye.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
So that being said, obviously we mentioned streaming services before.
Yes.
I think what's interesting in this conversation is it all basically is about the future.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think these services or this console or anything is going to affect Nintendo, PlayStation, and Microsoft? Because after all, look what happened with streaming services to Blockbuster.
Yeah.
And other stuff like that where they physical media still exists, but
right.
to be honest, a lot of people are just happy having Netflix than necessarily
mm-hmm.
going out and buying a bunch of discs and
mm-hmm.
having all this space taken up in their house.
Right, right. I have a feeling it's going to hit more of the PS or PlayStation and Microsoft are going to be the first ones to actually go to it. I see Nintendo.
Well, Microsoft's already launching this.
Right, 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 right. Obviously. But Nintendo, they may eventually go that route.
They're stubborn.
But it's going to be a while. I think Nintendo is going to be a while before they even go in that direction.
Well, the big thing for Nintendo is, I'm talking about a streaming service. Right now, they have a system that goes anywhere. Streaming right. services aren't reliable everywhere.
Right. That's so, also true. I mean, we are coming into the 5G era as yeah. well, so that'll help.
Yeah, we don't know how long it is.
We don't know how
everyone has.
Well, right, and how good of coverage it maybe that covers more of the nation. You know, each time they upgrade the networks, are they trying to expand and expand and expand until we eventually
yeah, but
get
or does it become like what it is at home with your Wi-Fi? You have 2.4 gig and 5 gig. Mm-hmm. 2.4 gig is, you know, what's most common, everybody has it, which also means it's got the most interference.
Right.
So then you go on your 5 gig, which is faster.
Right.
And more reliable. However,
it's
shorter
not
range.
As, yeah, it's not as powerful range, yep.
So, and the thing is with 5G, I'm thinking, well, how can they just keep pushing more? The signals, you got to have tighter signals for that. So to me, it's like 5G is going to require more towers.
Right.
Which means the spread of it's going to be even slower. I mean, 4G LTE didn't even hit max until like 5 years ago.
Right.
Everything, I mean, you were still getting 4G in some places, which, by the way, 4G, they might as well just call it 3G because it really barely tell the difference.
Right, right. Man, I remember when 4G came out and we're like, holy cow, this is fast. Now it's like, you're like,
yeah,
holy
but then
crap,
like,
this is
I
garbage.
But I thought it was fast, but then like I would switch to 3G back then and I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, sure, my page loaded a second and a half faster, and that is a big deal, but it's like, but the page is still taking six
right.
seconds to load, so
right.
does it really matter?
Right. No, I know. I hate
it's,
when
it's like 56K modem to a 72K modem.
Yeah, right. No, I know. I know, like, when I, sometimes my phone will even flip back to 3G, and it's
oh.
like, holy
especially out
crap.
Here. It happens a lot out here on the lake, depending on
yeah.
where you go. Like, it'll just flip, and you're just like, nope.
Yep.
Like, I'm just streaming music in my car. Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Instantly gone.
It'll
instantly
come back
gone.
Eventually. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I think streaming services, I've talked about streaming services extensively on the channel, surprisingly, because I was doing the Project Stream thing. And
right.
I honestly think there is a future for the streaming services.
Oh, for sure. There definitely is. But, again, if Nintendo keeps going this handheld route.
Well, I think the handheld route's going to make them less, their market will be less taken over than, and I know you said, oh, what about your phones? I get it. The streaming services are going to come to your phones, but it's still going to be the same inconvenience there is now. Because uh-huh. you can play home console quality games on some phones now, but you're going to have to get accessories to make it work, whereas everything's in the box with this. You literally just pull up the Switch and start playing.
Right.
Okay. So, and it doesn't rely on data caps mm-hmm. and stuff like that. To do that, and that's another thing to deal with, and 5G versus 4G versus 3G. So, I think personally that Nintendo is a bit more immune to this if they stay on their current route for at least another decade or so.
I'm actually kind of wondering
before phones get smart enough and they just pop out with like these
right.
all these weird funky fold-out controller things.
Right, right. No, you know, yeah, right.
It'll
sure.
be built into the cases or something. I don't know.
It'd be something interesting to see if, like in the future here, if Nintendo if they keep going the same route with the handhelds and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
if they can't like bring in like a 4G receiver that somehow internally boosts it to 5G. And allows you to actually play at a faster, you know, so you can get the coverage anywhere you have 4G or 4G LTE, whatever, whichever one you want to go with. But then internally boost it to get your extra speed.
I never want to see 4G LTE or 5G or 3G or any sort of internet like that touch a Switch. And my reasoning for it is the same reasoning I hated when they did it on Vita.
Yeah.
You're paying for an extra service.
Yeah.
It forces you to go through a cell phone company to pay for an extra service. Now, the thing is, if it happened to be your cell phone company, fine. You just throw it in with your current cell phone plan.
Yeah.
It sounds great, but it was always one cell phone company, and I doubt Nintendo's going to have this universal
right.
cell phone
no, I
companies
get you.
Don't
I get
work
you.
That way. They're not going to have this
you.
Universal support for all the networks. So
yeah, so.
So I don't like that idea just because if Nintendo's going to go that route, just make a gaming phone already.
Right.
Sony already tried it and failed, but Nintendo dominates handheld.
Yes, it does.
They have a feeling I think they could do it more right.
Mm-hmm.
But And plus, they have the back library where they can be like, hey, look, you buy our gaming phone. It comes with, you know, 100 NES games, 100 SNES games. Then again, we're talking about Nintendo, and we can't get that on Switch. Yes. So let's not jump ahead of ourselves here.
There is that. Yes,
but I'm just saying, that could sell a phone
to
a gamer who's considering between one Snapdragon processor that's the same with another Snapdragon processor that's the same.
Right.
And all the features that are the same and the 1 megapixel difference in the camera. And be like, yeah, but on our system, you get a fold-out controller and you get a 200 games packet.
Yeah, there you go. But no, I'm just kind of trying to think of ways that, you know, if Nintendo did try to go the streaming route, how they could actually do that.
As a service.
Well, yeah, but you'd still have to get the games and stuff like that. If, you know, if you're on the go, how are you going to get the games?
On your phone. How do you think streaming services are going to work?
No. I meant like with like a console, like with the Switch.
You would.
Or with the...
You wouldn't.
Yeah, you'd have...
The whole point of streaming services is any device. Any device you have, suddenly you're playing the games on. That's what streams, like Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to watch Netflix on the go?
Yeah. Can't do it on the Switch.
Oops. Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah. Switch has Hulu. Want to watch Hulu on the go?
Yeah.
Like, that's the entire point of streaming services. That's why Netflix and Hulu and all this stuff blew up and kind of overtook the physical media for that stuff was because convenience.
Yeah.
So the thing is if Nintendo created its own streaming service, it would have its games everywhere. You'd be able to play them on Xbox, PlayStation, Switch. You'd also be able to play them on your phone, on your PC, on your tablets, in your smart glasses when they come out one day, on your little console inside your car if you happen to have internet in your car. Some people do have internet in their car. Yeah,
they do, but I highly doubt that'll happen because...
Because what?
Well, that's... You know, you can't play games while you're driving, so...
Until it's a freaking... can do it. People until in the backseat can do it.
Well, yeah, but that's going to be on the screen in the back.
Or it could be on the screen that's in the middle console that folds out like this. I'm just telling you, the technology, we have it.
Yeah, we have it. And it's with self-driving cars nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. Self-driving cars, man. What are you worried about? Yeah. You buy the Tesla, and you just sit there and you play games as it drives you places.
Yeah, until, you know, they tell you not to look away from the road.
Hey.
No,
if an accident happens, guess who's paying me a lot of money?
Yeah.
The self-driving car company. Yeah. They're supposed to be preventing this stuff.
Yeah. Jesus. Wow. So, but, I mean, yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Do you want Nintendo to stream games?
Be nice to have Nintendo
games everywhere. A lot of people don't want them to, but...
I mean, it's nice to have Nintendo games everywhere, but then again, Switch allows me to do that.
It's kind of the same thing with the Nintendo Switch Online service. The issue people have with a streaming service, just streaming services in general, is that you don't own the games, and you require an internet connection.
Right. And
the internet goes down...
Right.
What are you going to do? You can't play games?
Also, that also means, again, when you don't own the games, just like Netflix, you don't own the shows. They take the show off of Netflix. Yeah. You don't have control over that.
Yeah.
You just lost your show, your favorite show.
Yeah, and there's things like I'll give you an example of it. Like, let's go with, like, because with a Nintendo service, you would figure, they're never going to remove Nintendo games. Well, here's the deal. Netflix... Right, they have all their exclusive shows, and yeah, they usually don't remove their shows or their movies. But when Kevin Spacey had all that stuff happen, they removed all the seasons of House of Cards.
Right.
You can still find them on the internet, of course, but the point is Netflix, I don't know maybe they put them back up by now. I don't know because they released the final season, so maybe
Was that an actual Netflix original?
Yes. House of Cards. That was the original.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
The thing is because of all that stuff, you know, they removed. And it's just like, I get why you're doing it, but why bother?
Right.
You know? It'd be like, some network offers the Bill Cosby show. Well, let's get rid of the Bill Cosby show. Like, you can't, it's part of history. It happened. You can't erase history.
Right.
And that's the thing. On these services, they can.
They can.
And that's what people don't want to see. Like, if something controversial comes up, like Mother 3, if it finally came to the U.S. and they didn't get rid of anything, there's controversial things in Mother 3, which is why it hasn't actually come over. And if it comes over and then it becomes this big deal in the U.S., Nintendo's just going to remove it.
Yeah.
Now you can't play it anymore.
Right.
So that's the thing people have with streaming services. Honestly, Nintendo's not going to do a streaming service for one reason and one reason only. They can't even get an online service, right? So why they're not doing a streaming service? They will. By the time they do a streaming service, I'll be old and gray.
Probably.
They probably won't even care at that point anymore because they probably won't be able to see the screen.
That's a definite possibility.
I honestly am not worried. Like, I'm talking like 30, 40 years. It's going to be a long time before Nintendo gets on that train.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nintendo is going to be viable in the hardware market for, gosh. In fact, I think Sony and Microsoft are going to get hit harder than anyone. Microsoft obviously is still going to have their streaming service, and their hope is, well, yeah, we might get hit by the streaming bug, but we're hit by our own streaming bug.
Right.
So we're not actually right. hurting ourselves. We're just not converting things over to streaming.
Right, right.
Sure. Sony, they have a streaming service for their classic games, and I'm sure they'll expand that in the future, like, you know, just like with Xbox Game Pass, where you get all the latest games. I think they'll expand it, but I question the viability of their console business in the long haul. Not this next generation. Next generation, they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird, too, because like PlayStation 4 is about to cross 100 million in sales. Xbox One's probably closer to 50 million. They haven't given us an updated sales figure mm-hmm. in like 3 years, so it's probably mm-hmm. close to 50 million. You know that Switch is already good 38, might hit 100 million in its life. It's like, it feels weird to even talk about that space going away
mm-hmm.
when it's, again, feels super healthy again, mm-hmm. just like it did back during the Wii era.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a wait-and-see approach. It's possible that streaming services and home consoles can coexist, and streaming services end up hitting with people who currently aren't gaming.
Right.
It's entirely possible. And I think we'll just have to wait and see. The thing is, for streaming to take over, it needs to be a Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, all of the companies creating streaming services, none of them feel like they're capable of a Netflix. Netflix was an independent party. Before they ever had originals, they had TV shows and movies.
Mm-hmm.
And like Microsoft, well, duh, they're going to tout their exclusives.
Right.
Good luck getting Sony's games on there. Good luck getting Nintendo's games on there. They're not going to be on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have Google. Well, Google will be able to get a few third parties, but good luck getting the Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. Like, you need a third party that can get all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when is Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo ever going to let that happen?
I could see two of them going to one, but never. I don't think I could see all three of them going to.
The only, yeah. The thing is, like I even talked about in the past, like Microsoft streaming service, because Microsoft and Nintendo are buddy buddy.
Right.
Nintendo might allow that streaming service on the Switch, so you could play third party games, but you're not going to play the Microsoft exclusives.
Right.
Those won't be there. It'll just be right. third party games. So
and
I,
then
I
it
think
would be up to then it would be up to Microsoft,
which
to then decide on whether or not, like, with their stuff, if they'd offer the Nintendo games as well too.
Nintendo ain't gonna let their games on Xbox. The streaming service would be a way to play third-party games that can't be on Switch.
Right.
That's it. There wouldn't be any. Nintendo wouldn't be giving Microsoft anything. Nintendo already does give them something. They sell Minecraft, and it's like the most popular version of Minecraft right now.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Banjo-Kazooie and Smash.
Right. Yeah.
Is that the next topic?
Come on. Yes, it is. Oh boy.
Anyways,
but
I think that's it. I don't think we really have anything else. So I'm actually curious what you guys out there have to think about this. We have a new competitor in the console space coming out sometime in the next couple of years. There might be more competitors. Who knows? There's been rumors of other competitors, mm-hmm. but a lot of them sounded like Ouyas. I mean, Ouyas basically are like Roku streaming sticks at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know if those are really a viable competition. Game streaming definitely is. That's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this mad box or whatever...
Hey, there you go.
If it ends up being this high-end thing, okay, cool. Don't think it's really competing in the same market then. But if you have, you know, game streaming, that's definitely in the same market.
Mm-hmm.
And with 5G and you know, Project Stream proving that it's possible to play it, even on, like, current internet that people have,
mm-hmm.
fiber spreading all over the U.S.
Right.
It's an interesting future we have ahead. I'm not sure what to think. I'm not sure what's going to happen. In an ideal world, we have everything. Ideally, we have our physical home consoles, the Switch to take anywhere. You have your boxes, Xbox, and PlayStations, play under your TVs.
Mm-hmm.
You have streaming services. You know, you have super high-end stuff, and everything's viable, and all games are on everything except for the exclusives, and the world is hunky-dory. That's an ideal world that is probably going to exist for a handful of years during the transition. The question is it going to maintain long haul? And mm-hmm. Nobody knows. Because we're in uncharted territories, folks. The future of gaming is completely 100% uncharted territory. That being said, thanks for tuning in to this short episode of the Nintendo Prime Podcast. I am your host with the most, Nathaniel Althajance. And this was...
Currently, what?
Nintendo Forever will be?
Prime Podcast.
Eric Moore?
Yes.
And you can find him on Twitter?
at emo8790.
You can find me on Twitter as well, at Ninty Prime. If you love this podcast, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/Nintendo Prime. For $5 a month, you can get early access to the audio version of the podcast. For $10 a month, you can catch this podcast live as we record it. How's it going, Edward Norton? For $20 a month, $20 a month, you can be on an episode of the podcast. In fact, our next podcast is going to have one of our patrons on in 243. And then the podcast after that is going to have another patron on in Corey Bohm as we are talking about Switch sales figures. It's going to be awesome and amazing because that's going to be the big update. Who knows? Maybe the next podcast is after a Nintendo Direct. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll catch you in the next one.
NintendoPrime.net.
NintendoPrime.net. Gotta get that. I'll leave that in. NintendoPrime.net. I'm like, what am I forgetting? All right. I didn't even mention Google Play, iTunes.
Google Play, like, iTunes, NintendoPrime.net.
Hey!
This podcast was brought to you by NintendoPrime.net.